to get my exercise. All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, last week I didn't tell you you were going to have a test. This is not a test, it's just a quiz. It's a different thing, okay? And you can expect these whenever I ask you to learn something. That means I want you to, you got a whole week to learn it, okay? So work on it. I hope you'll do that. Again, this class was made up to be different. It wasn't, initially it was going to be made for just those who wanted to sign up and do it a different time, but I want to open it up just so it make it easier for everybody to get this information. And this is good for everybody because it's going to help us to understand the Bible. It's going to help us to understand what is right and what is wrong. It's going to teach us that there are different ways to study the Bible. There are types in the Bible. You can study characters in the Bible. You can study just certain passages. Often when you study some of the books like the letters that Paul has written, you can study Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and you'll see there are very similar things taught in those. Same thing with Titus and Timothy and whatnot. So you compare Scripture with Scripture, and you find out they support each other, Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament many times, again, validating that the Old Testament is a book we ought to study. So those are kind of things important. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple things right now so you'll know to study these. There may not be a quiz next week, but there may be. But I'd like you to start memorizing John 14:26 and John 16:13. Anybody need those repeated? John 14:26 and John 16:13. Okay? And then also start learning the books of the Bible. So be a while before we actually have a quiz on that, but I want you to learn how to spell all the books of the Bible that you're memorizing. And we'll talk more about that, but they're broken up into sections. How many sections is the Old Testament broken up? Anybody know? This is probably something you know because you studied it. John says, okay, how many books are in the Old Testament? That's a good question to start. Oh, Josh almost says it. Huh? Five sections. That's right. Okay. They're five, and they're grouped into 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. Yeah, that's the way it's grouped. Okay, there's 39 of them. So that's kind of, and look, you can go to the front of your Bible. All the books are listed there. That's where you can pick them up and start learning. Learn the New Testament as well. There's the Pauline epistles, the pastoral epistles, the book, one history kind of book. Some people call the Gospels part of the history. There'll be five that way or whatever. And then, of course, one book of prophecy, that's the book of Revelation. And so you can study those out. There are different people who've written them. There's the Pauline epistles that starts from Romans and goes all the way to Hebrews. And then you have the other epistles, the general letters, and that is James and John and Peter and Jude. So again, go back and we'll start memorizing those things and start studying those things. So in a while, it won't be next week. I'll let you know way ahead of time for the books of the Bible. But I'm just telling you now so you can start. If you can learn five of them, you're ahead of the game. Okay, so there. All right, so real quick, let's go over a little bit what we looked at last week. Let's see if we can get things working here. That thing came on. That's pretty good. Oh, it's out, though. That's the way it works. Oh. This mic might come on, John. I don't know. Or Josh. Okay. Oh, okay. Something happened. It's happening again. Okay, let me just get a quick connect here. Sorry about this. Yeah, go ahead and turn that light on. Okay, it was set up, but it's not now. Okay, we good, do you think? Let's see here. Okay, this is where we're going to start. This is just a quick review, and then I'm going to pass out the test. So look at these things on the test. They're up here, okay? So what will this course teach you? Notice I changed something there. I should have brought a candy bar because somebody already told me what I meant. Huh? Huh? Very good. Very good. I would say that was done on purpose to make me look good, but it wasn't. It was bad typing. But anyway, Amanda brought it up to me, and so anyway, I changed it. Anyway, okay. And you'll find something else, so just mark it down. What will this course do for you? Okay. So it will help you learn how to understand the Bible. It will teach you how to use the best Bible tools effectively. I showed you some of those Bible tools. Can anybody name one? Thank you. It will help you learn how to study the Bible fruitfully, okay? So you can be a fruitful Christian. That's what we want to be, right? Fruit-bearing Christians. And then, of course, it will help you learn to be persistent in your Bible study, even when you become discouraged or bored or distracted. I don't know if this thing is working or not. Probably not. Huh? And maybe there's no sound to it. It will give you many fresh ideas for studying the Bible. Notice he's got a light over his head. And then it will help you understand the difficult things in the Bible. There are a lot of difficult things in the Bible. One of the books I have is Things Hard to Understand. I think that's right. I might have missed a word there. But it's from David Cloud. It's also a good resource. I actually have it on my computer as well. But it'll help you understand difficult things in the Bible. It will help you teach others, teach the Bible to others. And then lastly, it will protect you from being confused by false doctrine. All right? So that's kind of where we're at there. Those are gone. So I'm going to pass out this quiz or have these young men pass it out. And, let me do that. Let me see if it's on the next slide. Please be there. Okay, thank you. This is the quiz. It's not too hard. There are two verses there. Notice I gave you all the first letter of the first verse. And then I gave you blanks. Now, it looks hard here. The paper will be easier to read. So, Ethan, Henry, would you pass these out? Give me one, Ethan. Thank you. Raise your hand if you want one of these. If you're in the class, you ought to take one. If you're not, then you don't have to necessarily. If you need a pen, raise your hand. If you're taking the class, everybody individually needs this. If you're not, then don't take one. You don't have to. But if you're taking the class, put your name on it if you're taking the class, and you can put it in my box later. You got pens? Anybody need a pen? That's okay. Oh, sorry, I'm going to stretch. Anybody else need pens? Darts? If I toss them to you? Okay. You need a pen, John? Okay. Probably not much, but one or two. Okay. Just have them write it for me. Thank you. So first thing, write the following verses. If you use helps other than what is given, note it by the verse. In other words, if you need to use your book or you need to use your Bible, go ahead. But just write on there, used Bible or used book. I'm going to give extra credit for those who come up with the answers without using their book. Give you about 8 more minutes or 9 minutes to try to get done if you can. If it doesn't work out, we'll go a little longer. things that were presented don't have to be exactly worded the way they were worded. I'm just looking for the understanding. Oh, did it go out? Good, thanks. We're going to have fun today, I guess. Three more minutes, if you can do it. Everybody done? Still got a minute, but it looks like people have stopped writing. Okay. I'll let you grade your own paper, so you get to put your own misses on there. I'm going to trust you to do that. And you see the answers. Let's see if this thing will work for me. Quiz one answers. Write the following verses, okay, and the first one is Acts 17:11. So did you get this up there? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You guys, help me out. You got your paper. And search the scriptures daily, whether those, yes. You got it right, good. Whether those things were so. That's it. That's all you had to do is fill in that just like that on your paper. Just write it out. You mark it, every single one you missed, put a X by it, okay? And then once you turn those in, I'll figure out the grade point thing. All right, the second one was 2 Timothy 2:15. And I left it with blanks. Study to show thyself. You didn't have to spell show that way necessarily. If you spell it S-H-O-W, that's fine. I won't hit you for that right now. Thyself to prove unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There you go, truth. All right, good. Everybody doing pretty good so far? Okay, list two things that were presented under the title. What will, and notice I put the course, I scratched it out, Deb, see that? Course will do for you. There are eight listed, list more for extra credit. It'll help you to, we already mentioned these, help you understand the Bible, teach you how to use the best Bible tools. It'll help you be persistent when you get discouraged. It'll help you learn how to study the Bible, be fruitful, or study the Bible fruitfully. Those are switched, by the way. It will give you many fresh ideas for studying the Bible. It'll help you understand difficult things in the Bible. It will help you to teach the Bible to others, and that's our goal, is to be able to share the Scripture with others, whether it's soul winning or just sitting down with the Bible. It will protect you from being confused by false doctrine. And that's, if you look at the passage of 2 Timothy, where he writes, 2 Timothy verse 15, he talks about people, Hymenaeus and Philanthus, I think it is, that were on strange doctrines, okay? And he's saying that'll help you from following strange doctrines, just knowing what the truth is. And so then, for extra credit, who were the more noble than those in Thessalonica? Bereans, that's it, right. Sorry about Acts, I missed the S. Okay, Dev, I'll try to work on that next time. And then the other one was very easy, I hope. The answer should have been David Platt. Okay, thank you. So just mark those and turn them, slide them into my box, pastor's box, and I'll take care of those later, okay? Not today, but we'll work on that. I'm going to do like my teacher did eventually and say, hey, you got to get the punctuation right too. See, that he made us learn punctuation, so you count it off for that, but we won't do that. So anyway, your next assignment is what? And learn the books of the Bible. That's right. Start learning the books of the Bible. You don't have to know them by next week or anything. So let's move on. Yes. All right, teach them to your mom and dad. Anybody else that'll listen? I know you know. Good. All right, so we're going to move on here and go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, or excuse me, Acts chapter 17. Turn to Acts chapter 17. That's where we're going to start first. Oh, this is going to be giving me a little heartache, I guess. Okay, there are two key passages in the Bible, and one of those is in Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 10 in Acts chapter 17. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and men not a few. And so here again, we see that when Paul was on his missionary journey here, he's going through to these different cities. He was in Thessalonica. The Jews found out. They chased him out of there, and he came to Berea. And this is just south of Thessalonica. If you look at the map, I don't have the map up here. But anyway, these folks, they when he preached and shared with them the word of God, they actually took note of this. And three things that they did, which we see in our passage, which, let me get that. So how to be a notable Christian. Okay, there it comes. So how to be a notable Christian, or noble, excuse me, not notable, but noble, noble. That word noble is a Greek word, yogas ns, I can't even say it right, yug in ace, slow it down. And it means to be born, it means high in rank or generous, okay? They didn't call them noble in the sense that they were royalty. They called them noble in what they did. It's an action. In other words, these folks were high in rank or generous or these things. And of course, Brother Cloud, he says they were humble, which definitely has to be so to really get under the Word of God and study it and believe it and trust it. And that's exactly what these people were doing. And it's really speaking of their character. So they were more notable. Let me just make a reference to when Paul wrote to Thessalonica. Listen to what he said to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." He was commending them on how they received the word, the church in Thessalonica. And these were more noble than those. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind. They wanted this word. They wanted to hear this word. And again, it's the same. It should be the same for us. We want to receive the word of God with all readiness of mind. That word, or that phrase, readiness of mind, it means predisposition or alacrity, which means to do it cheerfully. In other words, their hearts were fixed on the things of God. When we receive the word, we ought to do it cheerfully, because God's given it to us for a purpose, and it changes our lives, and it really helps us to understand who the one we're serving is and what he wants for us to do. These folks didn't try to fit their own ideas into it. They received the word. They didn't receive just anybody's word. They received the word of God, and they received it into their lives. And then what we see, the first thing, so they received it, but not only did they receive it, this is another thing that we need to do, is what? They searched the scriptures daily. And it means exactly what it says. They searched the scriptures daily. They wanted to find out what the word of God had for their lives. This was a priority to them. They did that. That word for search is to scrutinize, to investigate, to interrogate, to determine. It's translated in a lot of different places as ask, question, discern, examine, judge in other places in the scripture. So there's a lot of different words used for it. But these folks were hungry for the word of God, and so they searched the word of God. It's amazing, and I imagine many of you would have a testimony of this. Everybody's testimony is a little bit different. But when you got saved, there are many people that right after they get saved, they can't let the Bible go for long periods of time. They just want to find out what it says. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand if you've done that or not, but that's a general thing that happens to a lot of people when they get saved, and if they're sincere about, you know, wanting to know things of God. They go and find out, because that's where you're going to find out what God thinks about anything, is in the Word of God. And that's exactly what these people were doing. They were searching the Scriptures daily. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So the psalmist here is talking about the word of God is his delight. It's something that he wants to do. You know, we all have things we like to do, things that bring us pleasure. Well, sometimes we think, reading the Bible, that brings us pleasure. It should. That's what he's saying. That's what the psalmist is saying, and that's what these people are saying. It's something that we should do and want to do. If we're not capable of doing it, we need to learn how to be capable of doing it. Because this is the way God has presented it to us through his word. And the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, this thing's making me mad. Not really, but get a long cable, I guess. Is it there? Okay. No, it's not there. Oh, there it is. All right. Thank you. This wireless thing's not working too good. We have to go back to Ethan. Maybe. All right, so we got through that. Let's keep passing. How to be a noble Christian. Verse, they receive the word with all readiness of mind. They search the scriptures daily. And then number three, they tested everything by the scriptures. So they looked at things as they see that last part of the verse where it says whether those things were so. That is, they tested it. They proved the word of God. Does the word of God work? When you study the Bible, you study the word of God and it has you do something and you test it, how do you test it? Well, the Bible says love your enemies. How do you test that? Okay, put it in practice. What's a practical thing you can do to test that? Helping? Absolutely. What else? Praying. Now, that's probably the first step, isn't it? Because you might have to pray for them before you can get over the hump to go help them. But maybe not. But yeah, praying for them, helping them, and just being kind to them and trying to show them the grace that you were shown by somebody somewhere down the road. Okay, and that's exactly what we need to learn, is that we can test the scriptures, we can study the scriptures, we can know what they actually will do in our lives. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So here he's telling us that as we present ourselves a living sacrifice is one that breathes, eats, sleeps, drinks, talks. That's us, living sacrifice. He says, as we present ourselves that way, then he tells us that we're to present ourselves as holy. And then the second one, he said, acceptable unto God. That's the way we want to present ourselves, is acceptable unto God. And how do we strive to do that? By studying the Word of God and finding out what is acceptable to God, right? And not trying to make up our own minds about what we think about things or what someone has told us that we should do or whatever. It's looking to the Lord. And he says, all of this is your reasonable service. And then he goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, and this is where it starts, is in the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so this is what God wants us to do, is to receive the Word of God, to search the Word of God, and to test the Word of God, okay? And that's what he wants us to do in this lifetime. And he's given it to us to do that. So what's the next thing? The second passage is God's command to study the Scripture. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he tells us, let's go over there into that passage for just a second. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 15. Okay. In verse 15, we see in our passage, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he goes on and says, but shun profane and vain babblings. So if we study the word of God to show ourselves approved, you know, workmen that need not be ashamed, we're going to know what is profane. We're going to know what is vain. We're going to know what is ungodliness. And that's what he says, is that these things lead to more ungodliness. And verse 17 says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philanthus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. So they were teaching false doctrine. And what Paul is saying is, if we study the word of God, we're going to know the difference between right and wrong, what is truth and what is not. A lot of people have a little bit of the truth of the Bible, and most of those are in churches because they don't study the Word of God. They hear what somebody has said, whether it's the preacher or somebody else, and instead of going into the Bible and finding out what it actually says and speaks to them, they take everything somebody else says to them. What a person says to you, he may tell you the truth, but between that person and you, things get lost. What God tells you will always be the truth, every bit of it. Okay? Like, there are times when I give illustrations or embellish something, maybe. Not that I want to do that, but I know there's times that happens. So you might get something that's added or maybe something that is missing because I told you instead of you got it out of the Bible yourself. Do you see how important that is? It's that game we always play. Let's get in a circle and we'll start somebody and somebody will whisper something. And time it gets to the other end, It's nothing like it started out. The story's been embellished. And it may be just three words. And all of a sudden it comes out 15 words and somebody's doing something, I don't know, whatever it comes out to be. So the importance of this, getting it firsthand, I cannot emphasize enough. The Bible emphasizes it too. And as Christians, we ought to take that as gospel. So here we're to study to show ourselves approved. So there are a couple things here. Let's see what the next slide says before I lose it all. Okay, we're to labor in the study of God's word. The study of God's word is work. Can you agree with that? It is not easy to study the word of God. It takes time. It takes a projector. Okay. Anyway, probably don't even need this. So we'll get to those in a little bit. But it takes time, and it is work because it takes energy. It may not be work like working in the woods or cutting a tree down or shoveling snow or driving a tractor or something like that, but it's up here, and it's here, and it's the Word of God. And you have to search the Scriptures. You have to dig in those. It's not reading one passage and say, oh, I got the understanding of everything. You need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Find out what God is saying somewhere else. Why don't we believe that you can lose your salvation? There are verses in the Bible that tend to lean that way. You know, you have to work for your salvation, it says in a passage. Do we believe you have to work for your salvation? No. How come we don't? Because we didn't take the one verse and say, well, that's what that means and that's it. We go look at the whole gospel. We find out what the gospel teaches and realize you don't have to work for your salvation. Salvation is a free gift, and God has given to anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus. If we didn't search the Scripture, we might believe like somebody else believes and have a false doctrine. They might want to take that doctrine, build everything off of it, and say, oh, yeah, but you know what? You can lose your salvation if you sin. Well, does the Bible teach you can lose your salvation if you sin? No, but there are verses that can tend to lead that way, and people that misstudy, they have come up with these doctrines. There are doctrines and churches and people built on these foundations. So again, the importance of studying. So we're to labor in God's word. Two words in this verse that remind us of zeal and diligence that is applied to the study of Scripture. Anybody have any guess what two words in this verse are speaking or teach us that we're having to labor or work? Raise your hand. I'm sorry. I got three people talking. That's why. I didn't know. What? They're in your book. Okay. Well, that's good. That's fine. But that's what they are, is work and study. So if you look at those words, study means it's going to be an effort. Work means there's effort. And so the word study, it means really, it's a Greek word that means to use speed, to make effort, be prompt or earnest. God wants us to make speed in knowing what his word has to say. And then that's the word study. The word workman is another Greek word. It means toiler, a teacher, describing someone who labors at some endeavor. And just as we labor at lots of different things in life, this is one of the things we ought to labor in a lot as well. And there's a balance in life. You can't spend all your time in the Bible unless you're a preacher. It's funny how the Lord has blessed me that I get to do this for a living. Before I ever did that, I still went to the Bible and studied it. Why? Because it's important that I know who God is. It's important that I know what he wants me to do. If I believe he's my Savior and he's the one who's in charge of my life, I need to know what he wants me to do, right? That's the kind of way that goes. The number two point, if you're taking points, it would be on this slide, but it's not. See, we're all going to give an account for our Bible study. When we stand before the Lord, we're going to give an account on how much time we were willing to spend with him. And in this verse, it tells us we're either going to be approved, right, unto God, or what? Ashamed. That's right. So this verse tells us if we study the Word of God, we're going to either be approved of God, or we're going to be ashamed because we didn't. The Bible is God's word and not man's. So because of that reason, we want to be in it. We want to know what it says. We got friends. We got people we know. We got other Christians, and we like to talk to those people. But you know what? Those people can never take the place of God because they're not. I don't know what God knows. I know just a little bit of what God knows, but I don't know what God knows and what God wants to tell you specifically. When I'm preaching, I don't know what he's saying to you. And I don't, for instance, if Mike and Deb are sitting there, they may hear different things, maybe speaking to them differently. And that's what God's word wants to do for all of us. It's an individual relationship with God. It's you and God, and that's your relationship with him. So if we're not careful, there's too many people that treat the Bible in a careless fashion. They're not afraid to change it. They're not afraid to say that there are errors in it. They're not afraid to claim that God had not preserved it. They really reveal a lack of reverence to it. If we remember, this is God's holy word. Man, I don't really even understand holy, but this is God's holy word, the holy God that gave it to us. And often, the way you treat the word of God demonstrates how you treat God. I want you to think about that a little bit. The way we treat the word of God demonstrates what we believe or think or treat God. We say we love him, but we don't spend any time with him. Is that a true statement? I love you, God, but spend no time. Try that with your wife. Tell her, honey, I love you. I'll be back in 6 months, maybe a year. Or I'll see you on Tuesday or on Sunday. Every Sunday I'll see you. That's what God feels when we don't respond to him the way he wants us to. Number four, we're going to wrap it up and pick up next week. God will enable a believer to rightly understand the Bible. That's why we read it, because God will give us that. If we are saved and believe that God and know that God's given us his Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. That's where it's going to come from. And we need that to know what God wants to do. The ecumenical mindset claims that every type of interpretation is good. Really, this opens up a door that the Bible is really not the truth. And how can we know what the truth is? Because there's so many different versions. There's so many different things it says. One calls God holy or the one, and the other says the Lord. And which one's right? Which one's true? Well, you know, the Bible is just a general book. It's just it's not dogmatic. It's just, you take it as you want to. Some think, well, you know, when you read the Bible, if it speaks to you, then it's the Word of God. If it doesn't, then it's not the Word of God. Just words on a page. I don't believe that, and I'm sure you don't either. And so it's important that we, again, look to the Word of God. He's going to, you know, Cloud points out that, you know, people had asked him, what thinks you can, or who gave you the power to read the Bible and know what the truth is? What makes you think you can find out what's in the Bible? Well, the Bible tells us itself that you can find out what's in the Bible. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In other words, God has told us that we can rightly divide the word of truth. So that means every individual that is born again believer can rightly divide the word of truth. We have the power. Now, again, it takes work. It's not just opening things up and going, okay, God, I'm reading this verse. Give me everything I need to know. No, you have to get in it and dig it out, comparing Scripture with Scripture, using the tools we'll be talking about. If you want to be a fruitful Christian, one who knows what the Word of God says, it's going to take effort, hard work. That doesn't mean you have to do it every single minute, every second, every day even, although reading the Scripture is important that you do it every day to help you know what God wants you to do. Anybody have any quick questions, thoughts, comments? It's okay to talk. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Anybody thoughts? Anybody think this is going to be fruitful? I see some heads shaking. Yeah. I hope it is because, I mean, again, this is the point, right? We're here to know what God wants us to do. And he will teach us if we will ask him to help us. And David Cloud, he's written this book. It's really good. Everything I've given to you came out of this book. And that's why I want you to read this book and know what's in there. It's not me just saying it, but it's confirming things I've said in the past as well as I'll continue to say in the future, because it's true from the scripture. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to be dismissed. And again, you got two verses, and I'm not promising you there'll be a pop quiz or anything, but go ahead and start memorizing those, and then also start memorizing the books of the Bible, okay? All right. Give everybody a chance to stretch those legs. Okay. Kirk, would you go ahead and close us? No more reading the sign.